Start Your Day in the Turway are by Marty Posen.
The Gemara in Tainis, Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara as well about Basra Samach Amud Beis, Shulchan Aruch, Tov Kuf Mandalad. You will bring down the same memory of Chazal. Cholam Mus'abale Yerushalayim Zuhi Chavroi B'Simchasa. Anyone who appropriately mourns laments of Yerushalayim will be Zuhi Chavroi B'Simchasa. We know, we hope, we wait for Mashiach. And with Mashiach is going to come the Simcha of Yerushalayim, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And Chazal tells Kolam this apple, anyone who appropriately feels the loss and mourns, we know we're holding just for the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av, unless Mashiach comes. Now's the time designated to be Mas'abel, to mourn of Yerushalayim. The Gon brings down the Gemara of Al-Basra, which says that when the Churban happened, then Chazal really wanted to take the halachas of the 9 days and apply it to the whole year. With the whole year, no meat, no washing, to be in a state of avelus the entire year, our whole life. And they realized that we couldn't, and therefore they reduced it down to 9 days. But the idea is, the loss was so great, that really it should be something that we feel every day. That's why people complain that it's so hard. You tell me, you're lucky it's 9 days. It could have been 365 days. So just count your lucky stars, it's only been reduced. But really the idea of Chazal, originally when they introduced it, was for the whole year, for the whole our whole lives, to be in a state of avelus. We do have many halachas which do remind us the whole year about avelus. We have a zech l'churban in our houses, in our sodas, in our simchas, in our chas. There's many different aspects of our life we have a zech l'churban. But most halachas, all halachas really of the 9 days, that's only once a year or the 3 weeks. But it's not every day of our life. But the idea of the Avelis is something which is part and parcel of our life throughout our whole day and our whole year, all around the year with our Avelis. The saddest part of the whole Avelis, probably nowadays, is the fact that we don't even really know what we are Mesabel about. We don't fully appreciate the loss. I heard a mashal many years ago, which is very, very well personifies this idea. There were some people, they were on a boat, they were traveling, and through the ocean, there was a storm, and their boat capsized, and they were shipwrecked. And they held on to the remains of their boat as it slowly drifted towards a foreign island. And they came to this island. It looked like there was no habitat, there was no civilization here. There was just animals. At one point, they realized there was an interesting breed of animals. Caught their attention. And they realized these animals, this specimen here of animals, is not really animals. Rather, they were human beings, but they behaved like animals. They had no clothes, they crawled on all fours, they're off the ground. And these people were appalled, they were disgusted, look at this, human beings acting like animals. And they kept to themselves and they remembered and remained as human beings. And over time they realized the only way to survive on this island is to become integrated into the rest of society, if you can call them that. And eventually they started joining in with them, affiliating themselves with them. They realized there was no other way to survive, so they started acting like animals with them. But they always remembered that we're all human beings. We come from a faraway, civilized, distant country, where we have all sorts of technology, and we have houses and clothes and food and businesses and our whole proper life. And here we are, we're stuck, so therefore we have to act like everyone else. And as the old generation died out, and the next generation started multiplying, and they passed down this legend generation to generation. Many, many years later, a boat came past. And someone mentioned, look, here's a boat, comes from the built-up world. Maybe we should join and ask them for a lift back to civilization. And people looked at him as if you're crazy. They said, why? What are you missing? We're so happy. We're so comfortable. And they carried on eating off the floor and biting at each other and acting like animals. They completely lost the meaning of what it was to be a human being. And they were so happy with their situation here on the island. This is a marshal for us here in Golas. We're so lost, it's been so long, that we've actually forgotten what we're missing. And that's probably the saddest element of the whole thing. We can't even tap in and understand to what the loss is. And therefore we, Rosh Hashanah to call it the great cry for the dry eye. We don't even know why we're crying. And we don't even cry anymore, therefore that's part of the Avelus. Frank Waxman gave a marshal. He said he was once so, there was a young boy in shul saying Kaddish, his mother tragically died at a young age, and she left over a bunch of Yosemim. And there was a little boy there, about 6 years old, saying Kaddish for his mother who had died, and it was a very sad situation. Everyone was in the room, was watching, and it was straight after the Shiva. And as the young child started saying Kaddish, everyone's emotions started doing all sorts of somersaults. They felt bad, there's such a sad situation. But he said the saddest part was, in the middle of Kaddish, this boy started giggling, started getting the giggles, and he couldn't get out of it. And he was standing there trying to say Kaddish, he was giggling away. And he said the saddest part was, not that he was saying Kaddish, the saddest part was that the whole seriousness of the situation was reduced to him in a fit of giggles because he couldn't get past that, and he was just lost in his emotions of saying Kaddish publicly without realizing the magnitude of the situation of saying Kaddish on his young mother who had died. So we are very much begat to that. We're here in Golas and we don't really know what we've lost and we don't really know why we're upset. Famous Moshel, the man came home to his wife and said, Sheikh's going to come and take us all to Eretz Yisrael. His wife said, we're very comfortable here. He said, what about the Goyim? He said, no problem, take the Goyim to Eretz Yisrael. It's part of the same point that we don't really know why we're crying. The Ruchnius Shaboy, understanding what it was like to be in the base of Mikdash, comes to Shalayim. There was, everyone around was a Nozeh, there was Nazirim all over, there was Korbonos, the Torah, the Tefillah. Prison doesn't have his feel after a whole day of learning and davening, or Yom Kippur after Nila, such. He feels so close to Hashem when his whole mind and body is in synchronization together, and he has no sveikas left. And now everyone was in a state of that, constantly in Yerushalayim. You went there, you recharged your Ruchnius, you came out feeling such happiness, such serenity, as you understood the tachlis of the world. And people had no anguish and depression and all. We have today, there was no worry. People knew what they were doing, they were focused. The Gaon says one of the major losses of the Churban is we don't have a Navi. There was a Navi. Firstly, the Navi told everyone what the Ribbon Shalom wants. Then more than that, you enter the Navi, and he told you exactly what you needed in life. Who to marry, what job to take, what investment to do, what your tackle is. Someone offers you a job, is this the right job, is it not the right job? You try it, 5 years down the line, he's still not sure. When you went to a Navi, he dictated everything for you, and he clearly told you what you had to do in life, was your tackle is, if it was the right shidduch, if it was the right job, if it was the right place to live, if it was the right mahalach in your life, and everything you did, you asked the Navi. So one of the losses we have, people today are so confused. They can do 6 years at a job and they're still not sure if it's the right job. All that we have because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash and everything that came along, all the trappings of the Beis HaMikdash with it. Therefore, we say here in Avelis, we start on Sunday, really Shiva Sabtam is a Shabbos, but it's Nidcha to Sunday, which has many Nefkaminas. But we say here in Avelis, as Chazal tells us, called Dorish Nivle Beis HaMikdash B'yomov, Kiru Nechrav B'yomov. Any generation which didn't have the Beis HaMikdash built, it was like it was destroyed. That means the averus we're doing and the level that we're holding by is the same level that would warrant the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the fact that it's not rebuilt now. Which means if the Beis HaMikdash would be around today, it would have been destroyed today. We're holding on the same level, the fact it's not rebuilt, holding on the same level as they were when it got destroyed. So we have to imagine the Beis HaMikdash would be around, the Churban would have happened today and yesterday. Every day we're holding on the same level as them, because it was much like holding the same situation. Therefore, there's a lot to do to regain, and through the mourning of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the first stage of understanding what we lost, and thereby rebuild it. It's an interesting point, though, that when the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to bring about the Churban, then Yirmiyahu was in Yerushalayim. Yirmiyahu Novi, who had prophesied what was going to happen, he had told everyone he was the Novi at the time, and he had foretold what was going to be. And the Ribbono Shel Olam couldn't do it to Yirmiyahu to let him be in Yerushalayim and actually witness the Churban. It was too much for Yirmiyahu, he was a Novi, he was on a high madriga. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want to put him through that. So the Ribbono Shel Olam told him, go out, he has a Nevuah which is in Yirmiyahu, Peri Lamed Beis. The Ribbono Shel Olam told him, go out of Yerushalayim, go to a distant village, and buy a field off your cousin. He had a cousin there who owned real estate. And the Ribbono Shel Olam told Yirmiyahu, go there and buy a field. And while the Ribbono Shel Olam had lured him out of Yerushalayim, the Churban took place. Yirmiyahu came back. He saw the smoke rising from the Beis HaMikdash. It was the Korbanos. And then he realized there wasn't the Korbanos, it was taking the Churban. He was actually in prison just before. And he left to go out by the field because that's what Ribbono Shel Olam told him to do. Now, it's an interesting point here. The Ribbono Shel Olam told him to go and buy the field. Why did he go by the field? The Ribbono Shel Olam told him, go buy this land. And this is a marshal. This is a simon labonim to know that the Yidden will take return back to Eretz Yisrael, even after the Churban. The Churban will happen, it will go ahead, but the Yidden will return, they'll come back. And just like you're buying real estate, they'll also buy real estate, they'll also buy land, and they'll resettle in the land. Now this nevuah of the Yidden coming back was moments before the actual Churban. In fact, the Rebbe Yisrael told him this, to remove Yirmiyah from the scene in order to start the groundwork for the Churban. Which means at the very time the Rebbe Yisrael was starting the Churban and he had set things in motion for the Churban to happen, at that very moment he was telling Yirmiyah and Avi that there's going to be a time where the Yidden are going to come back, they're going to settle in Yerushalayim, they're going to buy land again, and they're going to live in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael like it was. Which is a lot of chizik for us. Mamash at the time of the Churban, the Rebbe Yisrael was ready, setting in motion the simon to remind us and Klal Yisrael there's going to be a rebirth, it's going to be a gola. So even though we're coming up to 3 weeks, the time of mourning, we have to know through the mourning the Rebbe Yisrael is waiting to rebuild, and the very infrastructure of rebuilding was set in motion at the same time as the Churban. I heard from Rashi Kol in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rabbi Saul Altuski, the son of Chaim Dov Altuski, grandson of Chaim Bechashaimvig. He said an interesting point. He said it works out always that Parashas Balak is just before the 3 week start. Every year, Parashas Balak is just before. And he said it's a very interesting idea. All through the Torah, we don't find so many compliments for the Eden. Most times we're being told off, we're being told we're not doing good enough. The only time we find praise, posuk after posuk after posuk, and only praise, but praise coming from our enemy. Can you imagine if your enemy's telling you you're good, you know you're taka good. This is coming from Bilam, and he was saying pasuk after pasuk of praise for Klal Yisrael, and all that is just before the 3 weeks begin. Meaning the Rebbe Yisrael is telling us we're about to go into a sad time, and we're going to be told off, and we relay in the afters of the Churban. But before we even start, let me tell you what I really think of you in relative to the goyim, what Klal Yisrael really are. Parshas Balak tells us what the Rebbe Yisrael really thinks of us. Then we go into our golos, we go into our mourning. Knowing the Rebbe Yisrael really thinks that of us, and that's why the Churban happened, because he had such high dreams and aspirations for us, because we're really capable of. So the parasha of Balak has given us that chizuk and walk us through this dark time of the 3 weeks, knowing that really Wa'am Klov Yokum, Matu Alech Yaakov, Mois Nafshi Mises Yisharim, all these psukim telling us how great we really are, to know that's our capability, that's who we really are. And because so much is expected of us, that's why we ended up in the whole parasha that we are now. But not to think, Chas v'Shalom, the Rebbe Yisrael rejected us, as other religions try and believe. But again, the Rebbe Yisrael thinks a lot of us, and he wants us back. And he told us what he thinks of us before the Churban, and even at the time of the Churban, he planned the initial groundwork to have us coming back and bring back Gola. With that introduction, we'll start a few of the halachas negeah to Shiva Sabbatamus, which is Sunday. It's really Shabbos, but it's pushed off to Sunday, and the 3 weeks. Shiva Sabbatamus, 17th of Tammuz, everyone knows the five things that happened. There was the Egel. The Egel doesn't just mean the Egel, there's the Luchos being smashed. The whole scene of Matan Torah, which is what we know, which represented by Shavuos, came to one big, the right word for it. The whole thing just seemed to go wrong. It all ended with the Egel, and ultimately the Luchos being smashed, Luchos Rishonos, which was written by Hashem. Therefore, the whole Torah sort of suffered a blow in Shiva Sabbatamus in that respect. The whole idea of Karam Mitzrayim, coming out as a nation, building us up 49 days, receiving the Torah, waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down, all ended up in one big crescendo at the end with the Luchos being smashed and the Egel Hazav and dancing around it. So one of the saddest chapters in our history really happened on Shiva Sabbatamus, which is the Egel. We know every single time there's a punishment coming to Klal Yisrael, it always has a little bit of a punishment from the Egel as well. The Egel, the Rebbe never really fully forgave us for. So you know, in one respect, it is one of the saddest days we can ever have. It was the whole Matan Torah ending up in what seemed to be a flop. The second thing is the Tomid stopped. The Tomid is the Korban that went round and round. Tomid, Lashon Masmid, round and round. It never stopped. That's what was the very fibers of Klal Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash. It showed that was the heart that was beating round and round and round. And that paused on Shiva Sabbatamus, which ultimately brought across this point that the continuity of the Beis HaMikdash, of Korbanos, of the whole idea of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is going to come to an end. Yerushalayim was surrounded, we're just talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, some should hold it was the first Beis HaMikdash too, and by the Yerushalayim being surrounded, that was also bringing the whole life in Eretz Yisrael grinding to a halt with them coming to Yerushalayim and eventually breaking through, destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Apostomus Zarasha burnt a Sefer Torah. He did it in a public fashion again, which was also bringing about this idea of Golos. And finally, they put Salem in the Heichal, as Machlekes, who put it there? when it was put there. But this idea as well of putting a tzeilim mamish in the heichal to show that avodah zarah is rampant even in the base of Mikdash. So those are the five things that happened on Shivas HaPatamos, and because of that, each one alone is a reason to mourn, but all five collectively is even more of a reason to mourn. We find that Shivas HaPatamos has a higher level of avelus than other Tanaisim, Sar Patavis as well, different ideas of avelus in each one, but it's more than a regular Tanis. The Pasuk in the Eichel tells us, Kol Roi Tfeis, Higua Bein HaMitzrayim, between the two strength, between the two times when Eden was squashed, which is Shivas HaPatamos and Tisha B'Av, that's the time of Kol Roi Tfeil, the time where bad things happened, and that's why as well the whole 3 weeks we treat as a period of mourning. The Bach says, it's interesting because you see it's Takas, it hasn't changed, Bach says that the most confusion by any halachas in the whole Torah is to get to 3 weeks, the 9 days in Tisha B'Av. And you can see today, people want to know, can they do this, can they not do this, there's so many mechlokesim, things are very unclear. Back says the most confusion in regard to these halachas. Therefore, if you are confused, don't worry, you're in good company. But you should know that there's a lot of things which may not be clear. You may have heard one thing from one person, someone else tells you something else, you may reason to say for a third opinion. There is a lot of confusion, and things are not so clear in regard to these halachas. We'll try and explain a little bit what we can. The Tanis, we know, all Tanisim besides Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur start in the morning. Why does it start in the morning? Because, really, everything we know is a 24-hour period. Every Yom Tov, every Shabbos, every day is a 24-hour period. Why is the Tanis start in the morning? So, Chazal tell us that they really had times of 24 hours, like Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, but they realized people couldn't do it, it was too hard, so they reduced it down to the morning, starting in the morning. A Baal Nefesh, someone who can, should start the night before. I know people who can do that, they can start the night before. She was at times is an easy one, because you have supper, you know, 10 o'clock, and you still... You have to shkia, but he's still before Nacht. So if you want to do Shavuos HaPatamos, that's fairly easy and simple to do. When it comes to Asar B'Tavis, especially in Manchester, where it starts about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's a little bit harder. You want to have supper at 4 o'clock the night before, so it's harder. But there are people who take do it. Baal Nefesh, the place from Ridan, does it.
So Shabbos, you've got to start the fast on night.
Shabbos is the only exception. Why is the exception? Because you have Avdallah and you have Malav Malka. There's the famous story with the Vilna Gaon's wife. She wanted to be Mekabela Tanis for something, and the day she chose was Sunday. So he came on to Shabbos, and the Gaon sat down for Malav Malka, so his wife wasn't eating. And he said to his wife, why are you not eating Malav Malka? She said, I'm fasting. He said to her that a Tanis is very choshev. A person take a person through a Tanis, you suffer, it's a very choshev thing. But you should know what you can achieve through one mitzvah. Even the mitzvah of Malav Malka, which is, to me and you, it's sitting down to eat. It's a fairly easy mitzvah. What you have to do is eat. He says, what you can achieve through that mitzvah is way beyond anything you can achieve through a tannis. So a tannis is very special. But let me tell you, being mutl one mitzvah, you can't justify fasting being mutl a mitzvah. Therefore, he told the taker, eat. And it's amazing, it brings across the point of what one mitzvah is, a simple mitzvah. The Riyat says that people think connection to Hashem. He says, people want to have a relationship, connection. They're so jealous. The Nevi'im, imagine you a Navi, you spoke to Hashem. Such godless. He says a mincha far surpasses anything in a nevuah. Every time you have a mincha, you're connecting to Hashem, you're talking to Hashem. He says, you think a nevuah is great? A mincha is much greater. Brings across the point of mitzvahs we do, such mundane acts every day, there's so much intertwined into every mitzvah. And the God was telling his wife that a tannis, what's greater, suffering all day, not eating, it's so hard, people struggle. But eating Malav Malka, which is a geshmak mitzvah, is so much more achieved through that than you would be with the tannis. I know it's in Tam Chochem, we take a fast every tannis from the night before, but Sunday always he doesn't. He's always matineda because it's a suffix if you took on an eda to take a fast. But because Mal Shabbos, you'll miss Malav Malka and Abdullah could be moist to someone else. Malav Malka, therefore, even those people who should normally mechme, when it comes Sunday at Tanis, then they don't, and they take Malav Malka, because the Ikka Halacha is, it starts in the morning, and you can't even battle at Tanis. When is Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur? Not Yom Kippur, but Tisha B'Av. Then starts Sunday like this year, if Mashiach doesn't come. And you take it and do Malav Malka, it's too bad. But those Tanis, which are not, strictly speaking, starting the night before, you take it, even someone who would start, would have to have Malav Malka. The Shaila is as well, the Shavuos of Tamar starts, it brings with it the halachas of the 3 weeks. Now when do these halachas start? If Shavuos of Tamar is on a regular year, the Shavuos of Tamar would be on a Tuesday. So when do the halachas start? Tuesday morning or Monday night? Are they independent of each other? That means the halachas are 3 weeks tall when Shavuos of Tammuz begins, which is the night. Everything begins with the night. The Tannis, Chazal will make it till the morning. Or you say, no, with the Tannis it brings on the 3 weeks. This is a machlokes Rishonim about it. The Armani and Afkamiz, or Moshe has the chur, if you make a chasna the night before Shavuos of Tammuz, there are a lot of chasnas now, because we want to catch him for 3 weeks. So very early, people want to make a chasna, and they have a chuppah the day, and they want to dance all night. Dancing, music, chasnas, 3 weeks. So Moshe has a shayla about it, he's mekel, but he says this year, that for sure not. When Shavuos of Tammuz and Shabbos are pushed off, then everyone will agree, well, it's a Shabbos, you can't have a haircut, listen to music, all that lasts for 3 weeks, because Shavuos of Tammuz began Shabbos is Shabbos. But the minute Shabbos is out, you're already on Yudches Tammuz. You're already in the middle of the 3 weeks. Even though the Tannis is Nitche till Sunday morning, all other elements of the 3 weeks will already begin Motzei Shabbos. Normally not, but this year, I'll take a begin then. There are not that many halachas near to the 3 weeks. Baker, three halachas. Firstly, dancing and music. Mishwer brings to the Magen Avraham, Eli Rabba. Other poskim that we don't listen to music. Today, that we're all depressed, there's a shayla if people can listen, some people mamash need it for their mental health, some people like to listen to slow music, some people need it for business. A lot of people who play music, they don't have time to listen to all the latest songs they have to know. So 3 weeks at a time, they've got no chasas, they cash in and listen to all the music. That's like parnasa, there are certain kulas for certain people at certain times. People have a parnasa, they play music at non-Jewish events, they're planning, they're making stuff, people put together wedding videos as a business, and there's music in the background, all different shalas to get to this, but a normal person who has no reason to listen to music should avoid it. Kids tapes as well. Kids, if they're under the age of Avelis, can listen, but you should be avoiding it. Someone wants to know, he's going on a long road trip, and his kids want to listen to music. He says the only way to keep them quiet, which is quite a sad situation anyway, that's the only way to keep your kids quiet. But it may be negate to people to have music, so you always have to check up whether you may have a head in your situation. But Bedarach Klal, as a rule, we don't listen to music during the 3 weeks. We don't have chasas during the 3 weeks. Everyone knows. Actually, I think my brother actually got married here in Manchester during the 3 weeks. I think he's the first person to ever get married during the 3 weeks. What happened was, he got married shortly before the 3 weeks, but then they got their wedding video. They're watching it during the 3 weeks, obviously without the music, I'm sure. And they noticed that when he gave the ring to the kala, the two edim are not watching. So he went to the Rav, and the Rav said, yeah, we're going to have to redo this. He went out to the street, he found two people on the way to Mincha, pulled them inside, wrote a new printer, new ksuba, and they did the new kiddushin there and then on the spot. It's a shayla if you can give the ring back. Is it her ring? Is it his ring? How's he cleaning it? Does it work? But he did the new kiddushin then, with the new ksuba. So I think he's the only person I know got married during the 3 weeks. Even someone who gets second marriage can't do during the 3 weeks. But in this situation, probably because he relied on other reasons why it could be the Kedushin was Chal, it's just Allah Suffolk and already married them together, he did it again, the Kedushin again. But the Ksuba has the date of Tekka, 3 weeks, is wherever it was, Chof Tammuz. But most people don't get married during the 3 weeks. Svadim have different halachas, if so, Svadim is different. But Ashkenazim don't get married during the 3 weeks. Haircuts as well, we don't have haircuts during the 3 weeks. There are many nafkaminas to this. Shaving, people want to shave different areas in their body. Eyebrows, people want to trim moustache. Their pairs all have synchronization. They've got hair which is bothering them. So there's many different aspects to it. And if someone has a shayla, you should check up. It's not a blanket issa. But there are is, but there are certain aterim at certain times. Therefore, people have shaylas, don't think it's out. There may be certain aterim if something is bothering you, or women want to, for sneers reasons or other reasons, they may want to shave. They are heterim. But the Derech Klal haircut is the second issa. There's a famous, it's not a famous, there are many famous tshuvas from many poskim regarding people who want to shave for business. Coming to business, they call it respectable. So many point out nowadays it's not a gear because you look around, some people dress. People color come along with all sorts of hair, earrings. They have piercings, communion remach. They have all colored hair. And so to come along with a beard, without a beard, half a beard, a beard and no hair, hair no beard, it's not so strange anymore. The Chassid Malachi, they blend straight in nowadays. People come dressed all sorts. They don't really have a problem. Someone had a shayla last year, he had a tribunal with the benefit office. It's actually quite an interesting story. Then Nishach Zawashia, he told them that he wanted to sell something which was negir to for Hilchos Nida, and he told them it takes him 4 years to learn Hilchos Nida to research it. So he claimed that he was working for 4 years researching his business. Now this obviously didn't work, and they had a tribunal with them. You want to know, can he shave? If he comes with a messy beard, he may not survive through his tribunal. There was a lot of benefits at stake, being a good Jew. And therefore, he wanted to make sure that he's going to win the tribunal case. So he had the shaila, can he shave? But normally for business, normal business matters, someone has a court case, it could be different, but normal business matters, a person comes along with, looks all unkempt, it could be that he won't, by a proper court case, he might not survive. Whereas business today, usually it's not a gap. If someone does have the shaila, you should find out. A lot of times people have sticky situations. So I want to know, recently he had a new job, was actually a Jewish owner, and the guy made two tanoim with him, he can come work for me, two tanoim. No capital and shake women's hands. Those are the terms of our business. It's interesting, had he been a Goyisha boss, probably wouldn't have made these tanoim, but being a Jewish boss, he did. So it wasn't so simple. There were certain ways around both of these, and ended up that he took the job. But a lot of times people get thrown off, you have to know, if it's mamash shagia, something you need for your paranasa, there may be a terim, and many times you think there are terim and there aren't a terim, so every shaila must be taken case by case. Starting, you got to check each case up, what heterim you have or don't have. Children as well, not supposed to have haircuts. Two reasons, either because of the avelus of adults, agnes nefesh, or because of chinuch. Again, someone's an upsharon, there may be heterim. You have to always check up. A child's got hair which is bothering them. Girls go to sleep and the chewing gum gets stuck in the hair, they want to cut it off. And all these similar shailas. Someone actually had this on a shia, someone that was in, it was a rov of a bungalow colony, and there was a girl there which got a hair stuck actually in peanut butter. This is America, so anything's possible. And they wanted on Shabbos, can they get a goy? She was in a lot of pain. Can they get a goy to cut it off? So one eitzah was, he said, they had a big walk-in freezer. He said, stand her in the freezer. The peanut butter will freeze, and then he could pull it straight off. Promise she would freeze too. So there again, you think it's a stuck situation. Lamaiz the Rav was makel for a goy to cut her hair on Shabbos. Goy says, shemalach da'aisa be'etzem. But in this situation, he was makel. And maybe certain heterim should may not be aware of, therefore it's always kedai to check up things you think are mutter will be awesome, things you think are awesome, maybe mutter. For a bris mila, there's three people that can have a haircut. That's the moil, the sandik, and the aviyah ben. Actually, there's four people. Someone told me, he came to me, he said to me, he did the bris today, and this, it was during the three weeks, and four people had the haircut. Which four people? So we know the aviyah ben, the sandik, and the moil. That we all know. Well, who's the fourth person? I was trying to rack my brains. Couldn't get it. Anyone? Who's the fourth person? The baby. This kid was 13. Never had the bris. Can I have a haircut as well? Normally it's not a gear, but here it wasn't a gear. This guy was coming from, he had long hair, he wanted to put his cap for the first time. So his tackle was allowed a haircut. So you can have four people allowed to have a haircut, look over the bris. Sheikh Yonu, we try to avoid in 3 weeks. If someone does come up with a Sheikh Yonu situation, you win the raffle and you get your new Lamborghini delivered to your house, you may have to say Sheikh Yonu, you don't have a choice. But if you can avoid it, you want to buy your new Lamborghini, don't buy it now, push off to another time, and then you avoid your Shalom Sheikh Yonu. But if it does happen, someone has a baby girl saying Sheikh Yonu, different times you've got a bracha, Sheikh Yonu presented to you, you do say it. But lachatchil, you avoid Sheikh Yonu. You're meant to avoid all things of danger, which is negeh, Shechonach talks about hitting, but it's long outdated. But other things, swimming, some people had the takana and gated, they have a takana not to swim. The gates of Rav's son was Niftar here in Manchester during 3 weeks. The old gates of Rav, now you have to say. His son was Niftar swimming here in Manchester, and therefore they made the takana and gated not to swim. There are other places brought down, but Uli Achronim already not to go swimming during 3 weeks. But anything which is dangerous, he shouldn't do. Flying, Rav Nosson Sweet Finkel used to tell the Bachram Mir not to fly. No, this starts from the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks already the sakana starts. The 9 days isn't dafka any more sakana. It starts from the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks is already the time. Person should be careful to fly. Bochum of the Shaila went to fly to come home. The end of Zman. Another story which is actually no shaykh, because I remember Bochum once went to Rosh Ha'areli. Everyone knows Rosh Ha'areli from Mir, the biggest magicheer in the world. And he came to him and said to Rosh, you have to understand, Rosh Ha'areli is a very, very simple person. We once collected money to buy him a present, a dryer. And we gave him the money, here's the money, I want to buy you a dryer. He didn't have a dryer. So he doesn't want it. Why does he want it? He said, when I got married, we made a Kabbalah. We're not going to bring anything into our house unless it's absolutely necessary. He said, a dryer we've managed all these years without, why should we buy one now? Very simple, posh to eat. We live with mamash, but there's a dachkus with nothing. And as the bacha came to him, said to him that the man ends on Thursday, and he told him he's flying him Tuesday night, he's going to miss Wednesday. So Rosh Ha'areli said, why are you missing a whole day of the man? He said, because there's a big difference in price for the tickets. Ah, there's a big difference in price. It makes sense. Okay, there's a big difference. How much is the difference? He said, $500. Rav Moshe said, what, $500? That's it? I'll give you the $500. Stay another day. The Boch obviously changed his flight and didn't take the money off him. But there are many situations where you have the question, yes fly, no fly, during the 9 days, during the 3 weeks. All these svekas. That was no day at all, but any flight, it was a mitzvah. Some boys can say, Taki, you can do that, because it's Taki, a mitzvah, day at all. Depends what you're going for nowadays. There's a lot that besides for mitzvahs. But usually, your person's flying to learn, for sure you can. Bachram are coming home, and they would fly before the 3 weeks, but they're staying longer, because they want to learn longer. So there are different matzovim, but with Derech Klal, things of danger, people try to avoid. There's Ali Rabu who says you shouldn't do up your life in any way, do up your house, painting, refurbishment in 3 weeks. The 9 days is Mamashasa. The 3 weeks already says it's good to avoid. Someone can push it off, you should avoid. Which is actually going to get another Shaila, which is not really the 3 weeks, which is really the 9 days. And that is, you can't have work going on during the 9 days. Beds and for any private or business, different situations are Ethereum. But with Derech Klal, as a rule, you can't have work, building work going on. It may be negated now to plan it out, because the answer to Matzovim, if it's done by Kablonis, you've done a contract with the guy, and he's just working, and you can't stop him, there is a heter. So if someone knows they've got building work happening between now and Tisha B'Av, it's good to check with the Rav how to go about it, and check that either it can be done or it can't be done. But don't wait for the 9 days, and then you're stuck, and then you come along, say, do I cancel my builders? They're annoyed, you're annoyed. Kedai to plan, someone was telling me last night, so I was thinking of it, he's actually had builders in his house, and he wanted to know what to do for the 9 days, and I realized it's kedai to plan early for the 9 days if you have building work going on. The Lavush points out, why do we take out all these Simoni Avelas? To remind us of the Korban. Therefore, there's no point going through all the Simoni Avelas, taking out having your haircuts and whatever else that we do for the 3 weeks and 9 days, and forget about the Korban. Otherwise, you're missing the whole point. The idea is to have Avelas to remind us about the Korban. We're meant to be mis'abel in these days, Shulchan Aruch says. Tikkun Chatzos is another thing which has gone largely out of fashion, but there are other times in our day, 3 times a day, we say, V'lirushalayim ircha, barachim toshuv, at least during the 3 weeks, it may be appropriate to stop and think for a few moments as we say that bracha. We've got Nachman Tisha B'Av, we've got Yerushalayim ircha, we've got rachim, we've got in benching. There are times that we anyway mention Yerushalayim in our day. It's kedai during 3 weeks. We're not going to stop and pause during our busy day, think about Yerushalayim even though we should. At least the times we're anyway thinking about Yerushalayim, we should take a be. Stop for a minute and pause and meditate slightly about our loss, about the Khurban, and to know what's going on. The Mishmur brings down a talk of Memtes in regard to all Tanaisim. We have Shavuos of Tammuz coming up. All years and fast. Nowadays that's not so true. Some people do fast, some people don't fast. Fasting is one of the things that are also going out of fashion. Many people have all sorts of vegetarian nowadays, which many of them are very largely questionable. As someone who does eat, of course you have the minimum just to keep you alive. Don't want to see anyone sitting in any fancy restaurants. You've got to have just the minimum. I remember the first time I was a young bocha and I was on a bus and I saw this woman. Maybe she had the heta, I don't know, on a tannish, she looked religious. And she was sitting there with Sutta Shlema B'Shaite on her lap on the bus. And she was going through her lamb chop, steak, duck and veal. I don't know what she was eating. As a bocha, it was a big shock to me. I was like, whoa, you know, we're fasting. You're sitting here tucking in. Someone who does eat should be the minimum. And number two, shouldn't be in public. Teachers, a lot of the time, they tell them, don't eat in front of the kids. The kids know it's a tannis. You're sitting in the classroom. You may have a heter, you may have be a chole, whatever your heter is. If you're a chole, you shouldn't be working. But whatever your heter is, you've got, no problem. But don't do it publicly, and also tone down on the tannis. But be'etzem, chole yisrael mis'anim, me'atzor shirbem, te'le oira levavois, to be oira, to think, lefakech adarche ha'tshuva, to think about doing tshuva. It's another forgotten act, another forgotten art, really, of doing tshuva. You meant to stop for a few moments on the tannis to think about what you can improve. It should be a remembrance for our bad deeds. And what our parents did to warrant the destruction which we are following in their ways. Through remembering, we'll take a rebuild and we zoicha to the Geula. They are theirs and their parents are theirs. Every person is b'chuyiv to think. To think about what you're doing. To do tshuva. The main idea of the tannis, people suffer the whole day long. They see them, comes 10 o'clock and they look as if they're about to die and they're dragging themselves into marav. They're so sapped of any energy because they're fasting, but that's not the main thing of the tannis. Hashem saw their masim. From Chazal, a sack on their sackcloth, there's tannis on their tannis. That doesn't say the Rosh Hashanah saw their tannis, didn't see their sackcloth. As Ma'a saying, the Rosh Hashanah saw their deeds, which they had changed around the ma'aseh. Ve'ina tannis ela achonah l'tshuva. The tannis is just to get you ready for tshuva. Ve'chein oizim anoshim, shekeim mis'anim hulchim betil. People go on outings, they're relaxing, they can't work, it's terrible, they have to go on outings. With Warren Batalim, Tovsva Tovel, they've taken the Tovel of fasting, and they left the Ikka. Actually, a man here in Manchester, his Nifta 2 years ago, his grandson told me that he told him when he was an old man, I think he was Nifta 97, he told him once he hit a reasonable old age, I can't remember exact the age, he told him that he was so shvach on Tanis that he said he feels terrible, but when it comes towards the end of the Tanis on Shavuot September, it comes about 9 o'clock. He mamash feels bad, he doesn't have an etzah, he can't learn, so he does his tax returns. And he was apologizing, he said, I feel terrible, I'll say it in my tax returns towards the end of the tannis, and I go through all my books, because he couldn't fast. Halavai, that was the worst thing we did on the tannis. He was an old-fashioned elachi, the tannis was taka tannis, and he was struggling, and he was old, and he couldn't concentrate, so he did his business. But the ezim, the tannis, how shavos b'tammuz is Sunday, no one's working, it's great, come to shachris, you've got slichas, you keep your talis and tefillin on, no breakfast, no work. You can stay on straight till mincha. You got till 2 o'clock. Perfect, your talis and tefillin with mincha as well. There's no problem at all. But that's the idea of a tannis. The idea of a tannis is to tshuva. Think about how we can improve. Bezmen is many more halachas, but I see we've run out of time. But mitzvah, we should be zoichet to the pasuk in Zechariah, koyim ha-Hashem tzvokais, soyim ha-Rvii, soyim ha-Siri, soyim ha-Shvii, soyim ha-Siri, yele b'eithi shol ha-sosim, la-simcha, o-lo-moedim, toivim, va-emes, va-shalom, o-yavim.